This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Once again, happening to be joined by the founder of the largest online progressive community, ThursdayCoast.com, and host of the ever-popular podcast, The Brief, and founder of Civics with a Q, the polling firm. Marcos joins us. Marcos, how are you today, man?
Doing good, Mark. Always such a pleasure.
Likewise. We were just talking about bridges, and we'll be joined later, folks, by the Department of Transportation Highway Administrator, Federal Highway Administrator, and what a tragedy in Baltimore. That was a scary sight. And Marcos and I were just talking about it. I live in New York and they're bridges. And Marcos was saying to me, when I said, let's talk about it on there. Marcos just saying to me as we were coming on his thing about bridges. And I have the same thing lately. I'm getting better. But a few years ago, I was driving back or driving from New York to DC, which was not unusual. And for the first time, I got a level of vertigo and anxiety going across the Delaware Bridge. You know how big and how weird. And so not long after that, I went to San Francisco and I just couldn't do the Golden Gate. That's just the thing. So I have some friends and relatives who live in Baltimore. One told me just yesterday that she used to take that bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, frequently to take her son to school. Lord have mercy. Another told me he never used it for the same reasons we said, Marcos. It's too high, it's too much water, and it was an old, rickety steel bridge. Anyway,
it just looked sketch. Yeah,
two lanes. And he said, as one of those kind of bridges, as long as it was, you could still hear the trusses of... That's what you're going to hear. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's out.
No, thanks.
I would have had a helicopter me. But and this thing, now I've gotten better lately. I had to do some bridges in Florida last year, and to much to my surprise, I could handle them. But seeing that video does not help those of us who have a bridge phobia.
Mark, it looked like it was like an Erector set. Remember those old Erector sets when we were kids? It did not look real. It looks rickety as heck. And just the way it fell, like in seconds, the whole thing just crumpled. And modern bridges are engineered differently. And if for another reason, you put those, what do they call them, dolphins? But those bumper things around the support structure. So that way, if a ship hits them, it deviates them out of the way. It seems like basic bridge building 101. And the fact that this bridge didn't have that, it's mind-boggling, given how rickety the whole thing looked. Yeah, no thanks. And
you don't drive the Golden Gate. Do you not drive? So there are two bridges now, Golden Gate. And what's the other one between?
It's the Bay Bridge. The Bay Bridge is the one that connects Berkeley, Oakland to San Francisco. That's the one that I most regularly drive on. And I have meetings in the city, and 9 out of 10 times I will take BART. And the problem is that depending on where my meetings are, if they're outside of the BART system, which is not a very, it's not like DC where BART, the subway goes everywhere. In San Francisco, the Bay Area, BART is like a commuter rail. So it's one line into San Francisco. And so I try to make my meetings on that line. And if I can, then great. Then I'm going to take BART. I'm not going to drive across that bridge. But every once in a while, I have to do it. It just feels like I'm going to a different world. Like I would rather go in a tunnel. I'd rather take public transportation. I'd rather go east toward the suburbs than go into San Francisco driving.
I want to take, I'll just take the plane. I don't want to be in a car that makes me feel like I'm up in the air.
Exactly.
And that kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
This car doesn't have wings, and this is too out in the air. There's a bridge that goes to Ocean City, Maryland. There's another Bay Bridge. Absolutely horrifying. And this bridge is so scary. There's a sign before you get to the bridge. This is true. If you need a courtesy driver, you can pull over here and someone will drive your car to the other side.
What?
For you.
What?
Yes, I'm dead serious. Google it. Bay Bridge, right outside. If you're heading to Ocean City, Maryland, on the coast, That is how that is. And it's like suspension, and it even sways. It's documented that it sways. So no, I didn't know a ship like that could take out a bridge. Obviously could take this one out. Thank goodness. And they must have known that, because the story is that the ship sent a mayday signal in time enough for the authorities to clear most of the bridge. And that's why there were so few people who perished. And God bless their souls. I cannot imagine being them or being one of their loved ones. It is just unfathomable. This is just
and immigrant workers working on that bridge in the early morning from my home country of El Salvador and Guatemala and Central America. And yeah, and these a-holes that are spewing all sorts of conspiracy theories. Like, it was immigrants doing the hard work.
Yeah.
As always.
Now, but the reason there weren't more is because, so I'm like, I guess the ship knew and others knew of the danger of the ship, but the ship weighed like, they say it weighed like 200 million pounds. So I don't know what it is.
One of those big ass container ships that it was loaded up. It was fully loaded. So it was heading off to Sri Lanka.
So yeah, that's a little scary. But now we don't want to be like Nancy Mace either, because she's saying that this is proof that Biden's infrastructure money is not being used, or is not useful, I guess.
She could vote for more money. She could have voted for it years ago, when maybe by now that bridge would be reinforced or rebuilt.
Yeah.
So they're patently absurd, these people. They are utterly ridiculous.
And they've lost more members. It's not inconceivable that Hakeem Jeffries could end up being the speaker before long. And Mike Johnson isn't going to yield on trying to get money. So he's literally saying to Marjorie Taylor Greene, if you're going to take me out, you're just going to have to do it.
Yeah. There's the battle over Ukraine aid for sure. But she already filed over the spending bill, and the spending bill passed on Democratic votes. A majority of Republicans voted against it, which sort of violates this weird rule that they have that says that they put anything they will vote that doesn't have a majority of their own caucus. But it is not inconceivable that Hakeem Jeffries could be Speaker of the House before the end of the year, which would be absolutely hilarious if it happened. So yeah, Ken Buck just quit last Friday, and he said on his way out that when people asked him, a reporter asked him, how are your colleagues? Are your colleagues angry at you for losing the vote this Congress? And Ken Buck said, they should be worried about me. They should be worried about the next three that are likely about to quit. We just had the first one, Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. He quit earlier this week, and he timed his resignation so there can't be a special election until November, which would then leave that seat open for a while. This is an FU to Mike Johnson and to the MAGA Republicans that have taken over the House, basically saying, you're not even going to fill my seat. Literally timed it the day after the deadline. And if Ken Buck is right, and there's two more ready to pull the same trick, we may be at the point where it's close enough that, yeah, it's on the edge, that you may be able to actually call for new leadership. And then we join Marjorie Taylor Greene, oust Mike Johnson, and then get Hakeem Jeffries. Now, it's not likely. The numbers are still not quite there. I think, let's see, we're at four seats. We would have to lose four seats and somebody decides not to show up. Yeah, it's still a little tough because we're not going to get any Republicans to actually switch their votes, right? So it's, and I believe right now it's something like, it's like 218 to 212, something like that. So but it's not, depending on who quits, somebody may die, somebody may be incapacitated. Like, who the heck knows? Like, we're in the margin of error of funky stuff happening. And, man, can you imagine if we have a lame duck session with the Democrats in charge? I'd say ram it all through, all of it. DC, statehood, like everything, just ram it all through. Yeah, it's not outside the realm of possibility. And they've really backed themselves up into a corner where they just cannot stop displaying to America what a ideologically insane caucus that they are. And there is a reason that Joe Biden, with approval ratings in the 30s, is leading in most polling right now, and the worst is tied, and the Democrats are slated to pick up the House, and they may even hold the Senate. I think at this point, it's a 50-50 that they hold the Senate because they've gone so ideologically extreme. And we just had a special election in Alabama in the Birmingham suburbs that Trump won by a point, and local Republicans were winning by between five and 10 points, like Kay Ivey, the governor. And she just won it by about 25 points. Why? Because IVF, abortion, and it's the suburbs, right? The suburbs are a fertile territory for Democrats to pick up seats. And so Republicans are basically ceding that ground. And Democrats are just like walking into it, shocked that it's been ceded. But I don't think it's going to be a good election for Republicans at this point. And they don't know what to do about it because they're trapped by Trump. And Trump is being Trump. And Mark Trump's on a decline.
Clearly. And folks, last week we talked about my longstanding prediction that the aura would wear off. I think we're beginning to see that happening. When you start putting your name on Bibles that sell for $10 on Amazon and asking for $60. See, that's the other thing. We've not seen that level of blasphemy either. See, he can fool and mistreat the public. I don't recommend people strike God. And you might want to leave that alone. Because I don't know what, that's out of the court's control. You can't get, you're not going to get a lifeline like the judge gave him on Monday. By the way, Reverend Jesse Jackson, the Rainbow Push Coalition, had their annual Wall Street Economic Summit on Monday, which happened to coincide with the court hearing. So I'm down there. You're going to love this. I get to Wall Street, and it's in the New York Stock Exchange. It takes place in the very building. We went and we rang the bell at the end of the closing bell and all that. But this is early in the day. So when I get there, I'd say to everyone, the real reason I'm here is we do this every year. But more importantly, on this day, I'm here because I'm hoping we can walk in a couple of hours or one block down the street and move into 40 Wall Street because it will have been stupid. Everybody fell out laughing.
Then you know.
The judge says $175 million. Okay. And we're like, okay, so he gets his lifeline. The press, so he shows up like outside. We see him outside. He shows up with the motorcade and he's going in his building. And the press asks him, do you have the $175 million in 10 days? I'm not going to answer that right now. I don't know if he has $175 million. So meanwhile, there are all these Wall Street corporate types down there that I'm hobnobbing with. They don't know me and I don't really know them, but we're in the same room. Mm-hmm. And I'm just taking some informal conversation. And everybody agrees. They said, Mark, people aren't going to give someone money with a reputation of not paying it back, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked another question. I said, is there a possibility that there might also be a level of resentment? Because any of you guys, I'm talking about two or three of them. I said, any of you guys who had been charged with these types of crimes, do you think you would have gotten grace on your bond? And they all said no.
Yeah.
And that's another point of disdain. Even for rich people who aren't regular people like us, they couldn't see a scenario where somebody would just get him grace on bond like that. Mm-hmm. And so that just fuels the disdain and resentment for who this character is.
Great for the rich people to realize that Donald Trump may be not one of them or play some different rules. I've been watching right-wing forums. This is like the rank and file of MAGA. And they've already been grumbling. They've been grumbling all year. So early in the year, Donald Trump talked about a compromise of 16 weeks on abortion, right? And that had them already skittish. Then he's doing this thing where he's showing up late to rallies. And he didn't do that before, apparently. 2016, 2020, he'd show up on time. He's showing up late. And so people are having to leave early. It's a lot. His base is old people, right? And so they can't sit there and stand out in the middle of nowhere. They have these rallies in the middle of the cornfield, in the middle of nowhere. So there's a grumbling about that he's disrespecting them. This Bible thing, again, there's grumblings. And now there's not an all-out F this guy, I quit, because they worship the guy. It's a cult. But you got these like feelings of unease. And they're like, I wish he wouldn't do that. And if his both faithful, hardest core cultists are having doubts, you can better believe that suburban people who aren't part of that cult are like this isn't really working for me. And that's what we saw in Alabama, is that as people extricate, Mark, you know what The Bulwark is? The publication, The Bulwark?
I'm familiar.
So The Bulwark is, for those who don't know, it's that never Trumpers like Bill Kristol and Sarah Longwell and a bunch of these old school Republicans who, quite honestly, got us to where we are with the Republican Party. They enabled it. But once they like the inmates took over the asylum, they're like, whoa, like we didn't like this. We like their vote so we can get tax cuts. We didn't actually want them in charge of anything. So they created the Bulwark. But here's what's amazing. Anybody, it's thebulwark.com. Anybody go there. Just, I promise you, go there. These are Bill Kristol. Y'all remember Bill Kristol? He is like he founded the National Review, or was it the Weekly Standard? Right. One of the conservative magazines. Like he was hardcore Ronald Reaganism. You go to the Bulwark and I challenge any of you to find what's Republican about this thing. What's not Republican? What's conservative about it? There, Bill Kristol's pro trans rights, pro gay rights, pro choice. Once you take away the tribalism and say you don't have to follow dogmatically the Republican agenda, whatever that becomes, whatever that is, book burning and hating immigrants and anti-abortion, anti-IVF. Once you strip away the suit that I have to be a good member of my tribe, conservative Republican. Once you take that away, they all get really reasonable. They all start sounding like Democrats, Mark.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening in the suburbs where people are like, whoa, well, like, I'm not, if this is what Republicanism is, I'm not sure what it is. Now, the Democratic Party has a shit brand. Nobody's pretending otherwise. Like, people hear Democrat and they like think they recoil. But given a choice between the Republicans that they actually see as dangerous to their own liberty and freedom and democracy, and then the other side, Democrats talking about freedom, they may be like, yeah, I hate Democrats, but they're not scary. Right. And there's actually a poll just came out that Donald Trump scares people in a way that Joe Biden doesn't. And that's like the evil genius of South Carolina Black primary voters when they basically rescued Joe Biden in 2020. They pulled him out of like third, fourth place. And because they said, we know the American electorate and that Republicans would kill to run against Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg, a gay man, or Cory Booker, a black man, the old white guy that looks like them, like they don't know what to do with them. And it's exactly what's happening right now with Joe Biden. He may be unpopular. He may be this, he may be that, but he looks like a Republican, like a typical Republican voter, and they don't know what to do with that. And just, I don't know if it was earlier this week or late last week, but just recently, within the last 7 days, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, right? So the Republican House arm, the National Republican Campaign Committee, National Republican Congressional Committee. Sorry, I got it eventually. They put out a memo saying, don't run against Joe Biden. It's not working. Because nobody is afraid of Joe Biden. And Republicans had just spent a year talking about Joe Biden being senile and being cognitive decline. And then that all got just blown out of the water at the State of the Union address. So they got nothing right now. So they're literally telling their candidates, don't run against Joe Biden because it's not going to get much traction. People aren't afraid of Joe Biden. They may think he's old, but does that make you afraid? No, Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. It's a threat to our personal freedoms and liberties. So people are really motivated against Donald Trump in a way that they just can't, even the most partisan Republicans, they just can't seem to get into it. Now, Mark, if it was Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, if it's anybody that wasn't an old white guy, Pete Buttigieg, a gay man, anybody that wasn't an old straight white man, they'd be going to town. My God, they'd be so happy because they would just lean into their bigotry. They can't lean into their bigotry with Joe Biden, which is really putting him at a huge disadvantage. And that's not to say it's all good, Mark. You know that. Like, I want that first woman president. But in this moment, it really puts him at a disadvantage. And that's why you see Donald Trump flailing. I think you're right. He doesn't have money. He's feeling that if he was on his own show, he'd fire him. There's just no doubt that this Donald Trump would not survive The Apprentice. And so he's feeling the heat of the cases. He's feeling the heat that he's not, that it's competitive, but he's not doing anything about it, Mark. He has not campaigned in the last, since the 15th. So 2 weeks without a single campaign appearance. Joe Biden is barnstorming right now through battleground states.
As we speak, I just got the alert that Obama and Biden have just touched down on Air Force One here in New York. They've got a big fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall tonight with Bill Clinton. But yeah, they're doing it.
Yeah, they're raising the money. And you have Donald Trump, who last weekend, oh, did you catch this? He tweeted about winning a golf tournament at his own golf course. So he's spending the weekend playing golf and then bragging about people letting him win this golf tournament. I mean, who's going to pretend that Donald Trump won an actual golf tournament?
No, indeed.
That's so freaking ridiculous. So yeah, he's bragging about winning a golf tournament and hawking sneakers and hawking Bibles. It's not fundraising for his campaign even. That's like in his pocket. Like that's just his grift. And so where's his campaign? Turns out that they're saying that they cancel campaign appearances because they can't afford it. They can't afford to have the rallies. They're out of money. His political action committee actually spent more money on lawyers than it brought in January. Democrats have a 2-to-1 right now fundraising advantage. If you look at the Biden campaign, the super PACs, the House Senate committees together, they have about $180 million in the bank. If you look at all the Republicans together, I think they have around 70 or 80 million in the bank. And most of that is Senate Republicans because Mitch McConnell is the last standing old school Republican who knew how to raise money. Mike Johnson doesn't know how to raise money. And Donald Trump, certainly, he's worried about his own personal grift. He's not even raising money for his campaign. He's grifting out for his own pocket. What exactly do Republicans have moving forward, especially now that their whole narrative that Joe Biden is cognitive decline has just been basically trampled and ground into dust? Like, what's left, Mark? And I don't see it. Doesn't mean we don't work. None of this means the assumption is we got to work our butts off. But we work our butts off. We do what we need to do. If we just worry about ourselves, they're imploding. We take care of our own business, take care of our own house. We're going to win.
Yeah. I know polls, you would still say it too early. And there are a couple out even today that talk about how much Biden's numbers are above Trump's when it comes to women. He's doing better even in places like Michigan. But let me ask you about civics. Has anything changed much on civics to raise your attention?
So Joe Biden's numbers bumped up a couple points after the State of the Union address. So it's better. On the Trump versus Biden in the battleground states, he has a lead in enough states to win the election, but it's 1 to 2 points. But here's the thing. When you look at those numbers, it's 45, 46, 43, 44. They're both in the mid 40s. The question becomes, how does Trump grow from there? We know why Biden is lower. Some Democrats they haven't come home yet. They're still hoping maybe there's another candidate. They may be upset about Palestine, about Gaza. They may be upset about they didn't get the loans, didn't get forgiven. They blame Biden, even though it's the Supreme Court. There's a lot. There's even people who think that the lack of abortion rights is Biden's fault because he was president when the Supreme Court ended those rights. There's an education component. None of this is out of the ordinary. People come home. And in 2020, Biden got about 52% of the vote. Trump got 47% of the vote. 47, almost 48. I think it was 47.6, 48. Okay. So if Trump is at 45 right now, does he get up to 47, 48? Maybe. I think a lot of that may be Haley supporters who are like, the heck with this, and we're gonna quit. But it's within the realm of possibility. I would not assume that he doesn't get back up to where he was in 2020. He's not going to grow from 2020, Mark. In fact, more of his people have probably died off since then because they're all older. They're still dying of COVID because they won't vaccinate. It's a math problem, right? So Biden getting to 52 seems a lot more likely than Trump exceeding 47. If Trump doesn't exceed 47, he can't win. It's just the math is not there. That wild card maybe is, okay, maybe. I don't think so. because third-party candidates never do well. They always pull higher. Nobody ever really votes for them, number one. Number two, I still don't think that RFK necessarily hurts Biden because his whole thing is being anti-vax. That's his credential. And the people that attracts are people that otherwise would vote for Donald Trump, right? Anti-vaxxers, conspiracy theorists. I'm not convinced that it even hurts him, but that might be the only wild card at this point. How does Trump get past 47% that he got in 2020? I don't see it. I think his support has actually shrunk. And the way he's running this sort of desperation campaign, I think speaks to that because he's not having fun like he was in 2016. In 2016, he was clearly having fun. He was being an a-hole, but that's fun for him. And that energy was infectious to his racist base. And so they loved that. 2020, he was smug, but COVID was a weird time. So things were like weird, but he didn't have any idea that he was going to lose. Like he just couldn't fathom it. Now he's desperate because if he loses, he wants that immunity from all the prosecutions, right? And that desperation does not look very good. And that's why I say there's this unease in MAGA online circles. They're not ready to quit him, but they're doubting him in a way that they hadn't before this year. And it's just little things. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like the Bible's not, boom, no, we quit. But that's just another little data point. And he, I think, has really lost his instincts on this. And I think the abortion issue is just once people realize that it was, and he's bragged about it enough, right? He's got to run a video of him saying how he killed abortion, like literally on endless loop to the end of the election. He may get back up to 47. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. It's math.
But I guess too, though, the flip side of that is on us. He may not go any further, but the fear is that we could go down.
Yeah.
If we stay home or if people become apathetic and, oh, white dude, we don't feel like it. He doesn't inspire us. And we're upset about Gaza. And you're right, student loan forgiveness didn't happen. So I guess that's the struggle we're in right now.
And that's why we cannot be complacent for sure about that. This data that I've been seeing is that people are so terrified of Trump that it overcomes a lot of that reticence.
Right.
And so yeah. Trump is our biggest ally. And this is, again, if Nikki Haley was a nominee, it might be a different story. It actually would be, I would almost say that at this point, she might be the favorite to win just because younger, different, and we'd run a campaign about how she's anti-abortion the whole cycle, and that would give us a fighting chance. But I think it would be a much different campaign. I'd be a lot more worried right now, but I wouldn't be worried about our democracy. So it's,
you would hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so. And the other big factor, the money thing, you can't overstate money. Hillary Clinton had double the amount of money that Trump did. And so money does not win elections. But Donald Trump had money in 2016. Hillary Clinton just had a lot more of it.
Right.
Donald Trump right now is broke. They cannot have rallies because they can't afford it. And he's not out there. I saw a story in Politico where this team was bragging that they finally got him to commit to spending an afternoon calling donors. Mark, do you know anything about running campaign? 10 hours a day, you're calling donors. That is what people think a campaign is, going to rallies and talking. No, running for office, it is brutal, grueling, hard work where you're sitting on a phone and you're begging people for money. And that's why I would never run for office, Mark, because I hate the phone. And I certainly.
And when you're not on the phone, you lose.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of Baltimore, a member of my extended family, the great Clarence Mitchell IV, Clarence Mitchell III, who was in the state Senate in Maryland for years. And when I ran for office, this is what he said. He said, Mark, if you're going to run for office, every moment you are awake, you have to be either campaigning or calling the donor.
Yeah.
And you need to stay awake most of the time. So I get. Yes.
So the fact that they were bragging, and Joe Biden's on that phone, he's presidenting, and he, every second he's got, he's on that phone making phone calls.
And that's, and those calls get answered because he's the president.
Yeah. And Donald Trump finally, he spends a week in golfing, and he finally agrees to do an afternoon. And Mark, I bet you $100 right now that he didn't make those calls. That the afternoon came and he would rather watch Fox News or whatever the heck he does on his free. He didn't make any freaking phone calls. Of course he didn't make phone calls.
He's never worked. He's never worked in his own life. Work? Yeah. He does not work.
He was in the White House.
Yeah, and it's even suspicious. They're suspicious of whether or not he's even literate, if he can read.
Yeah.
So the dude is that. So hopefully we'll see what happens. Now, April 15th, this is real now.
Like, yeah, we're going to get some new numbers. It's very illuminating.
The kids say SHIT just got real. Mm-hmm. They start the jury selection, too. So this will actually be the commencing of an actual criminal trial for a former president, which has never happened. All right? So this is the Stormy Daniels piece. Mm-hmm. And this is not complicated. This is pretty open and shut. It's probably far less complicated than Fannie Willis and RICO. And I just want to say something, too, since I brought up Fannie. If a judge in Texas can outlaw mifepristone, if I'm not pronouncing it correctly, when his wife is making the argument in court, then Fannie Willis can have a relationship with the prosecutor. Because that's a conflict of interest, is when we on both sides are conflicting with each other and affects the case. I am your spouse arguing a case in front of you. That's not the same as a prosecutor who has no conflict with the other side or with the judge. So I just want people to understand that. And then these are Clarence Thomas's friends. If the Supreme Court upholds the ban on this drug, it's over, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they won't. And I'm not sure. It looks like it's going to be a 7-2 decision based on oral arguments. But here's the thing that I think people realize. The case was brought by a bunch of doctors who actually have the ability to say, I have a conscience. I'm not going to treat people with this. They had no standing because it doesn't hurt them. And so it's a jurisdiction issue. It's not a ideological decision. They're going to punt. And those conservatives on the Supreme Court, they saw what getting rid of Roe v. Wade did to their party, right? They don't want to do that before an election. But what they're going to do, and just this is my prediction, you're definitely going to see it in the dissent, and you may even see it in some of the majority opinion, is they're going to basically be talking about this Comstock Act. So keep an eye on Comstock Act. The Comstock Act was an 1880 law that bans the mailing of pornography via U.S. mail. Mm. And it's obscene materials. They're going to try to use that as the vehicle to outlaw the shipping of this oral aborticide. Again, I don't I don't know how to pronounce it. But that's the vehicle they're going to use to try to ban. Now, this is about pornography, nothing to do with any kind of medication or drugs, but that's the vehicle they're going to try to use next, try to outlaw that. And then you're going to see people like Clarence Thomas, who claimed they're originalists and about the text, suddenly completely make up a new rule for this when the time comes, because that's what they do. Consistency and internal logic is not their strong suit. So this is not going to end. And by the way, just as an aside, this judge in Texas that banned the drug, it's a small county in Texas. It's got one judge. So that's why every conservative, whether it's anti-abortion, anti-immigrant, anti-whatever conservative thing is, school choice, they run it through that district, because this judge will always give them the decision they want. And then they go to the Fifth Circuit Court, which is that region, or is it the third, and very conservative. So it's a good way to get up to the Supreme Court. They have actually banned that, the courts. So you cannot forum shop anymore. So this idea of running all these cases through this one judge, this might be the last case where that's happened.
Wow.
So that's a little bit of good news.
So who stopped that? How was that stopped?
The courts have, I think the Supreme Court, they have a whole sort of governance system that sets rules, just like Congress sets its own rules. And so they set that rule saying that you can no longer forum shop like that because nobody lives in this county, right? So it's not anybody has a direct connection to this county, right? So it was just basically, it was a convoluted legal fiction that everything could be filed in that one district so that one single judge would then hear the case and give them the ruling they all wanted. So that's over now.
We're good. Ronna Romney McDaniel. And for those of you, Daily Coast has covered it, but also is really in-depth expose in Puck News.
I think that's Dylan Byers, who used to be in the Washington Post. Fantastic work.
Man. And now everybody at NBC at 30 Rock is stabbing each other in the back. That, and I know what they thought. They wanted everybody, this is still a ratings game. They didn't want her to go to CNN or ABC, but she's not any Republican Party chair. She is a promoter of the big lie.
Yeah.
So I'm just glad that people stood up and said,
yeah, people like Elon Musk are like, oh, it just shows that NBC doesn't want any Republicans. Michael Steele is over there. What's his face? Corey Lewandowski was there for a couple of years. Like, they have Republicans. There's nothing wrong with having a Republican. The idea is exactly what you said, is that she's the proponent of the big lie. She tried to shrug it off. It's just part of the job. Like, no, it's you. who sells out democracy for any price? Now, I think it's funny. They got to pay her. It's a contract, right? So she's getting, it was $300,000 a year for 2 years. So NBC News is now $600,000 for pure idiocy. She never should have been chosen. And you know what? Had CNN picked her up, had BBC picked her up, they'd be getting trashed. And nobody thought this. It's absolutely incredible to me how divorced from reality and unable to read the room you have to be to think that this was going to happen without serious consequences and blowback. This is not a Republican. As far as Republicans go, she's actually pretty inoffensive. She's a Romney.
She hasn't
said anything. Like, everything she's done has been in the service of supporting this idea that the election was stolen. And that is her sin. If she stripped all that out of her, like, beforehand, she's like Nikki Haley. She might even be pro-choice for all we know. She doesn't seem to be a firebrand. She was a good trooper. She read from the hymn. And that is what makes her dangerous. And I don't know if you saw that article in Puck News, the follow-up. It was riveting about the internal divisions at NBC News. And they were just saying, because she was on Meet the Press when they introduced her to the network. And people at NBC are like, she was terrible. She wasn't even good.
Right.
And she's been excommunicated from the Trump team. So this idea that she would have inside information or insight into what the Trump team is thinking, even that is absurd because they loathe her. They kicked her out. So everybody's wondering, what exactly was she supposed to bring to the table? She's not good on air. She doesn't have any inside information. And that was worth $300,000 a year for a few appearances a week on air. Mark signed me up for that deal.
I know. And maybe she knew what she was doing because she knew she, no matter what, she'd walk away with $600,000. I also understand that her creative artist agency has dropped her.
Yeah.
She no longer has representation. So it reminds me, you talk about how bad she was, and people talk about how bad she was on Meet the Press. You may remember when I was still at SiriusXM and they brought Steve Bannon back, and me and a few other hosts spoke out against that. And I went on MSNBC and I said, not only was Steve Bannon wrong in terms of his ideology and him being an acolyte for Trump, I said, the show is awful. He's not a good host. And then the punchline was that I said, and I just came to my head and I said, yeah, I said, the show sounds like he looks. And even everybody in the, you could hear, literally hear people, all the camera people, the people in the control room, everybody.
Good, Mark.
And it was never the scorn for me just saying that, never quite subsided. That's serious. And people were angry at me because I said, the show sounds like he looks. And
you're right.
So
funny because it's true.
It is true. These people are something else. But yeah, MSNBC and NBC, they didn't do themselves any favors. And then when you've got your $30 million person, what are you going to do? Fire Rachel Maddow? What are you going to do? So you got a choice now. You pay the rest of her $30 million or you pay this one $600,000. So you make the choice you have to make. if you go move on into those other hosts, you got to pay all of them. But her, no, it really hurt the credibility of everything that was going on. Lastly, let me tell you how effective Marcos and this show is, Thursday Coast. Last week, I went to the whole thing about Kate and how I'd gone down the rabbit hole. And the next day, the day after Thursday Coast of last week, ladies and gentlemen, I guess they were so affected by what Marcos and I had to say, she actually releases a video telling the truth about what's going on with her. And I don't know why they couldn't just do that in the first place. But here's what's interesting. We wish no ill will. And in fact, I had said, and others had said, we knew there was something more, and something else more had to be going on, whatever it was. Okay. So obviously, yes, tragic, prayers up and all of that. But the New York Times does this piece, and the British government and is saying Russia helped fuel a lot of the conspiracy theories about Kate. Okay, maybe some of the stuff. But, and I'm never going to defend Putin and Russia, but guess what, y'all? Russia did not produce a Photoshop photo. Yeah. That's what got this going. In other words, if Russia did add to it, it was able to add, because y'all sent out a Photoshop photo.
Yeah.
The article in the New York Times didn't even address that. It didn't address that was the original sin that took people over the edge, which still has not been explained, which is still extremely bizarre. You have cancer. Okay, you say, look, we'll let you know. We'll release a statement when we're ready. We're not ready to talk right now. Whose idea was it to literally tell a lie? In other words, the photo was going to come out. And if the photo had worked, we never would have known. One. What? Two, let's be honest, y'all. It's like every other public figure. You're a public figure. We have to know what's going on with you. Right. And there's no figures more public, nor more taxpayer financed and funded than the royal family. So what is the big secret? Right. And at this stage, it's not like you have any enemy. People don't dislike Kate. So you would only get more support, more prayers, more goodwill.
She did. What's it working like? Yeah.
No. Nobody hates her like the way they hate Meghan Markle for no reason. So Anyway, but it was after this show, the next day. I guess they heard us and they said, okay, Mark is going off the deep end. We probably need to hear.
Yeah, damage control time.
I didn't subscribe to any one conspiracy. I didn't know what, but I was literally just pulled in. I was reading all of them.
I don't know how hard it is to say she's having some medical complications. We'll let you know as soon as we're ready. And then, the press would be like, what is it? But it's different than, why are they giving us a really crappily Photoshop image? Like, they could hire somebody to do a good job. It wasn't even good. It was like the intern slapped it on. It was bad.
And then she's getting cancer treatment, and then she has time to Photoshop and the frame of mind to Photoshop a picture by herself with 16 errors in it. No, I don't think so. And so those questions probably would never be answered now. And unfortunately, she had to tell her story. And I get it. Maybe they didn't want the kids. Maybe the kids didn't really understand. I get all that too. But you had to do it now because of this. Anyway, that's another effect of Thursday Coast, folks. That we got the truth and prayers for their family and also prayers for those in Baltimore. That's still just something you cannot imagine or comprehend. And I just could not imagine being in that situation and not knowing. And then it was even reported today, somehow those construction workers, they couldn't be gotten to in time. The word didn't get to them in time to come off the bridge or whatever. It's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, folks, Radio City Music Hall tonight, Obama, Clinton, Biden, that'll be interesting. It's a fundraiser. I don't think it's not going to be televised. I'm sure they'll share clips with us. And this is not no small money donor fundraiser either, so people like us can't go. I won't be there. They say they might raise about $25 million tonight. Queen Latifah, it's like a really big thing.
And meanwhile, so, Trump is, what, tweeting?
Telling Bible. Trying to read funny with the Bible. Every American needs the Bible in their home. I have so many Bibles at home. What's your favorite scripture? I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into what my favorite scripture is. I don't want to focus on this. This is immediately hostile. No, but you must have a What's your favorite book? Old Testament. I don't want to get into that. 50-50. Well, there's two of them. There's two of them. So 50-50 ain't answering the question. So 50-50. That's no. 2 Corinthians walked in. So, folks, yeah, he's we can't go back, y'all. Also, Netanyahu, UN Security Council, did it, but Netanyahu is saying he's not coming now. Then he's changed his mind. You know, the team is coming. The question is whether he comes. Anybody in the Biden administration, if you're listening, do not let Bibi Netanyahu come over here and speak to Congress. Do not.
It's if Johnson invites him, there's nothing Biden can do. And I think that's what they're trying to get. Netanyahu is completely partisanized Israel's future, which is, if I'm Israel's political establishment, and to be very clear right now, if there was elections in Israel, he would lose by a landslide. This is very much a Donald Trump gambit where he's clinging to power in order to avoid he's been indicted. Like that case is on hold because he's the prime minister, same sort of situation. If he loses power now, he's going to jail. Yeah. So all this misery that he's continuing to inflict, he lost the U.S. And when you lost the U.S., you really effed up as Israel because it took everything. It took everything for Biden to finally throw up his arms and be like, F it. We can't go on like this. Right. And everybody's, it's Michigan. It's politics. No. Biden and Netanyahu have never really gotten along. Biden was trying to guide him into not doing what they did, and it didn't work. Okay, cut your losses. And it's like that war cabinet in Israel, they need to do something about Bibi because he's leading them down the wrong path.
You're right. Johnson will invite him, but unfortunately, Johnson won't get the backlash. Biden will in current climate. That's the thing. What I'm saying is if he comes, you will see probably one of, if not the largest mass demonstrations in the history of this country will be massive. People already, when the news came that he might be coming, people started mobilizing. And Biden doesn't need that. It would not serve them well for something like that to happen in an election year. Because again, you back in 1968, there weren't a lot of mass demonstrations in 1980. But we know that crisis led to Jimmy Carter's downfall. But yeah, I just hope that does not happen because I don't know how the Biden administration keeps that off of them. Unless he says, if he's coming, I'm not going to meet with him. And we are totally withdrawing any verbal support. You can't take they got the weapons. Some people think you can go get the weapons back, but you can't really do that. They've got all the aid that they've gotten from the United States. So you can't reverse that. So I guess all you can say is, as you did with the UN Security Council vote, abstain or whatever, or make more outspoken demands that there be an immediate ceasefire. But yeah, I think it would be wise for everybody, for him not to set foot here. Because you're right, it ultimately, that's him lining himself up with Trump. And I bet you if he comes and Biden doesn't receive him, he'll be in a photo op with Trump.
Oh, absolutely. And it's shocking to me that Bibi doesn't realize how that's not the bet you need to be making. He's desperate. Like just like Trump is desperate. They're both two desperate, despotic, murderous, horrible people. And wouldn't be surprising if they clung to each other.
Yeah. There's the coach, everybody. DailyCoach.com. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks so much. Catch you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, not of the circumstances, but nevertheless, glad to have join us today from the Department of Transportation, the Federal Highway Administrator, Shailene Batt. Mr. Batt, how are you?
As well as can be expected.
Yes, obviously. What a tragedy this is. Let me let you begin. What's the latest update that you can offer us?
Yes, I think tragedy is a great way to describe it. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the 6 people who were lost, and also the thousands of workers in and around Baltimore whose jobs are being impacted by this. But that is the sort of sad part about this. But as a matter of hope, I think we just want people to know that the federal government, all branches that need to be in action are in action to get the port reopened, get the navigable channel restored and get the bridge rebuilt.
Was there any indication? It's hard to know where to begin. Was there any indication that there were some structural concerns about this bridge? Was there any signal that something needed to be done, or was this just literally something that could not be avoided?
Yeah, just for everyone to set their mind at ease, at the Federal Highway Administration, we have what we call the National Bridge Inventory that tracks every bridge in America. They're inspected on a biannual basis. And if those inspections find things, we close bridges. And we just closed a bridge in Rhode Island a few months back. It's caused a lot of traffic problems, but safety is always going to be our number one priority. In this case, this bridge was inspected last year, satisfactory bridge inspections. No concerns from a bridge inspection standpoint. The bridge was safe. This is just a spectacular chain event that you can't really envision, but we'll wait for the investigation to tell us exactly what happened.
And also for those of us who even have a hard time comprehending, what do we know about the impact? Is it true that this is a ship? We know how big container ships are. I just want to get a sense of what kind of force it would take to bring down a whole bridge.
Yeah, so remember, force is a function of both the weight of the 100,000 ton vessel and then the speed. Because if a car is moving 10 miles an hour and runs into something, it's not that big a deal. If it's moving 80 miles an hour, there's just a lot more force. And in this case, the ship was moving at 8 knots. So very heavy ship, high rate of speed in that channel, and hitting a pier that can't take that kind of force. So it's the equivalent of like an aircraft carrier. If you think of an aircraft carrier hitting a bridge, just a massive impact. And while the bridge is designed to take a lot of lateral load and stresses, it's not something that it was designed for.
So waiting on the investigation, and also obviously, is it also in your purview to deal with the crisis at hand now? And that is, it's a very important channel that affects shipping, import, export, the supply chain. What is going on there?
Yeah, so I think that this is part of President Biden's whole of government approach. So the Army Corps of Engineers is working with the Coast Guard on the recovery efforts and bringing together all of the material that will be needed to clear that channel. And that's the first path here, is to get that channel cleared. The Secretary Buttigieg has been working with the automobile shippers, the heavy farm equipment shippers that are in this port. The sugar is another good, and many of those ships are diverting, but the supply chain issues are being managed. But I think that is the most important part, is getting that port back open as quickly as possible to minimize supply chain disruptions.
Can you confirm that the ship was able to send out a Mayday alert that allowed the authorities to minimize the loss of life? Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. The pilot who was operating the ship did manage to convey a Mayday that was conveyed to the Maryland State Toll Authority police officers on the bridge, who were able to close access to the bridge, which meant that the only vehicles that were on the bridge were the ones from the work crew, who were the ones who did, many of whom lost their lives.
And so I guess we presume that the word just didn't get to them in time.
Actually, the word did. It is my understanding that there was some communication. It just, they didn't have enough time, as you said, to get off the bridge. But I think the silver lining on this dark tragedy is there were no other vehicles. It's a busy interstate highway. And the fact that there were no other vehicles affected, I think, is a small blessing.
No, it is, as one of my family members says, it's sobering. I have family who use that bridge regularly in that area.
Yes.
So it there's no way, folks, you could have seen that video and not been affected. We all drive across bridges every day. Thank you for joining us and giving us an update, and we hope you will keep us informed, and God bless you. God bless the families, first of all, and we can continue to keep them in all of our prayers. But God bless you and the work you have to do. Is there a timetable? We got to build a new bridge, right?
Yeah, build a bridge. What I tell people is that the port, getting that port open, is a matter of days and weeks to get that clear. The bridge is on the months and maybe a year or years, depending on what we find coming out of this. But yeah, this will be something we're dealing with in the Baltimore area for the foreseeable future.
And there's another, getting the port reopened, the port can go back to functioning.
Yes.
bridge won't be there.
Exactly. There won't be a bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, sir. And God bless you and your work. And we all hope for the best.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.